You're listening to episode 20. Welcome to Cultivating the Lovely, the podcast. This is the podcast all about pouring the labor, care, and study into the roles that God has given us as wives, moms, women, and His children. It is meant to inspire us to be living with passion, intention, beauty, and delight in the everyday moments right where we're at. I'm your hostess, Mackenzie Monroe, from BoldTurquoise.com and CultivatingTheLovely.com, along with the Cultivating the Lovely Morning Show on Periscope. I am very excited to announce that this is episode 20, as you probably heard at the very beginning of the podcast, and today I have on actually a duo. Karen Ball and Aaron Taylor Young are joining me today, and I just loved talking with these two wise women who are also both authors, and they give a very different and wonderful perspective on how we can be leaving a legacy through the written word to our children, and I really think that you guys are going to enjoy this episode. But first of all, I wanted to announce a couple of things that they are offering. I was actually on their podcast in August, so if you haven't checked that out yet, then make sure you go find Right From The Deep on iTunes and check out that episode. I had so much fun recording it with them. And also, just as a little bonus to you guys, they wanted to include a giveaway with their podcast episode. So they are giving away a copy of Mary DeMuth's new book, Worth Living. They had such amazing things to say about this book, and I can't wait to get my hands on it and for one of you to get your hands on it. So in order to enter our giveaway, you just need to head over to my Instagram at Bold Turquoise, and I will have all the details there for you to get signed up for the giveaway. So really, I don't want to blather on any farther. I really want to just jump into this episode and let you guys hear the amazing wisdom that these two ladies had to offer. So without further ado, here is Karen and Aaron. Okay, welcome Karen and Aaron. I'm so glad to have you guys here today.
Hi.
I have just been so looking forward to being able to talk to you guys because I hope someday to become an author, and both of you are, and you've been in this industry for a while, so I'm just really looking forward to finding out some of your wisdom today. But for people who don't know who you are, can you both tell us a little bit about yourselves and where people can find you?
Well, my name is Karen Ball, and I have been in publishing for about 34 years now. Yes, I started when I was three. And I'm a published novelist and writer. I headed up fiction for four of the major Christian publishers, for Zondervan, Multnomah, Tyndall, and for B&H Publishing Group with Lifeway. And so I've worked with most of the top Christian novelists out there, Francine Rivers, Sherry Blackstock, Gilbert Morris, Angela Hunt. These folks are all good friends of mine. Ted Decker. So yeah, I'm name dropping.
Awesome. Yes. So it's like, I feel like it's that Kevin Bacon, like 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. Like, okay, I'm 1 degree from Francine Rivers.
That's awesome. Exactly right. And so it's been terrific. I've had a wonderful career, and now I'm done with heading up fiction lines, and I'm a freelance editor, and I still write, and I also am a literary agent with the Steve Lobby Literary Agency, so I still get to work with writers and help them, and as a freelance editor, I get to help them refine their craft, so I'm a speaker, and so I have such a passion for words and the power of words, and so the fact that God gave me this career to be able to utilize that passion to strengthen other people in their writing and to get the God's word out to the readers has just been wonderful.
That's awesome. And Aaron, how about you?
Well, I'm Aaron Taylor Young, and I work with Karen.
Yay!
I'm dropping her name. So I've been in the industry maybe a good 10 years now or so. I'm an author. I'm actually
she's one of my clients.
Yes, that's how Karen and I met. That was such a God thing for anybody who wants to be a writer. Let's just sidetrack there and say it's all about what God wants to do with you and where He wants to put you and who He wants to put you in touch with. And God actually pointed me to Karen with like three different people. And it was an amazing thing. I write humor. So I have two books about my dog. He's let's just say he's mentally unstable. You know, he's a difficult, very difficult, it's a tough love situation. And ultimately, it's a humor book. And it's a book about this rogue torpedo of a dog, but it's also a love story. And that's my favorite part of it. And that's one of the ways that Karen and I connected really at first was through my humor writing. I love writing humor because I love that we can laugh about things. And I typically write about things that are painful.
Yeah.
Like this dog was painful. But I love how the laughter is healing through that. Mm-hmm. And so going deep with God through the laughter and through humor and through hard things, that's been one of my passions. And it was fun to connect with Karen about that. And so we actually do a podcast together as well. And that's called Write from the Deep. We'll actually be expanding that one day to be Live from the Deep as well.
Oh,
but
awesome.
That's a podcast about being in the deep and the hard places and writing there and meeting God there. And that's one of my funnest things. And that's you can find that at writefromthedeep.com.
And awesome. You guys, you listening, will really want to go there because we had Mackenzie on as a guest. And so, Erin, when is that particular podcast airing?
Sometime in August.
Okay, so be wonderful. Sometime in August and watch for Mackenzie's guest appearance.
Thank you so much. It was so much fun being on your guys' show. And that has just made me even more excited to have you guys on my show. So You were saying, Erin, a little bit about, you know, writing, working with the humor to heal and that kind of thing. Is that kind of how you got started wanting to write in the first place? I'd like to hear from both of you about what made you even want to become authors.
You know, I didn't. I don't know. That's just one of those things. Like, I was in third grade and wanted a guitar and became a really bad songwriter. So somehow from that, I ended up writing humor because really I was bad. And that's funny. So it was one of those things that developed. And I think that there are those people who know they want to be a writer since the time they can hold a crayon. And there are those people who somehow don't understand that they want to be a writer, but they love words. And eventually they go through this long process. I think I should write a book someday called The Long Way Around to Full Circle.
Yeah.
You know, because I've loved the writing process. But I'll tell you this, it wasn't the right time for me to pursue writing as a writing career until it was the right time.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to go through so many other experiences and learn so many different things. I told you that I started as a songwriter. I actually went through a very painful process of a master's in music theory and composition. I promise I'm the least talented person who's ever graduated from that school. And through it all, I'm like, I really like the words part. Let me write words.
Very cool.
So, you know, it was just, but I had to learn. I had to be in that deep place and learn so many amazing things through that process before I lived the experiences that God wanted me to write about. It was always there, just waiting for its time, mm-hmm. waiting for the ripeness and the fullness. And so when it was time, you know, he was like, yeah, I think you need to start writing now. And he showed me and told me, and off I went.
I love telling about how Erin and I ended up getting together and working together. We were at a writer's conference. And just as an aside here, if any of you listening are interested in writing at some point, I encourage you to go to a writer's conference.
Yeah.
If you're believers, go to a Christian writer's conference. You will find amazing teaching. You will find amazing interactions. And just being in a community of writers for those days, just concentrated. Nobody looks at you funny when you say, my characters kept me awake all night trying to figure out how to poison somebody. Nobody is calling the FBI. Nobody is backing up their chair. In fact, they're all scooting forward and they're saying, ooh, we have ideas for you. So,
That's awesome.
Being in a community of writers is just a magical place to be. But so we were at a writer's conference, the Mount Hermon Writers Conference in California, and it was the end of the conference and I was exhausted. And Erin had, we'd set up a meeting. And so I just it's rude, but the reality is when you get proposals from these writers who haven't been published, oftentimes they're just really not ready to be published. So at the end of the conference, when you're already exhausted, it can be kind of a painful thing for the editors and the agents to say, yes, of course, I'll read your manuscript. And so I was just sitting in the pew. We were in the auditorium, which it's pews like a church. And she came and she handed me her manuscript. And the first thing I do is I go right to the writing, because that's what matters to me, mm-hmm. if there's power in the writing. And so I started reading and I just started laughing out loud. What she had written was so funny, but it was taking God's truth and presenting it on the offbeat. She tenderized you with the humor, and then she came in with truth in such a powerful way. So, shameless plug, if you haven't read Surviving Henry, Aaron's book, Surviving Henry by Aaron Taylor Young, you have got to read it. You'll laugh yourself silly, but the truths are so powerful. But I fall directly in the crayon camp. I wanted to be a writer from the earliest age. I loved reading. I was a storyteller. My older brother still says to me, it's just not fair. When you were a kid, you used to get in trouble for lying, and now you get paid for it. So I wrote stories from the earliest age. My best friend in high school and I, from first grade on, we used to incorporate ourselves into our favorite TV shows. I still have the notebooks where we wrote all about it.
And, that's fabulous. You
know, so it was great. So I started out writing kids' books, young adult fiction. I did a nonfiction calendar for students, and then I launched into fiction and just haven't looked back since.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think I fall more in Aaron's camp of, like, I always call these the research years.
Yes!
I'm getting all the stories now so I can write about them later when I have more time. But yeah, I love that. Those are great. I love that you both come from very different places with ending up in the writing too. There's a place kind of for everybody who feels called to it. Just it's at different times. So if there are any moms out there who are thinking, yeah, I maybe do want to become an author someday, what is your wisdom for what they should be doing now, or they could be doing now with that in mind in the future?
Well, I think the most important thing is to read. The thing about reading is that you learn what it is that you enjoy. You learn the genres or the focus that you enjoy as a reader, and it helps you to discover your own voice as a writer. Read everything. Read in the Christian market. Read in the general market. Just read for the pure joy of words and the pure joy of ways that people express themselves. We talk about an author's voice, and that's what makes a book really stand out, is when your voice as a writer is so distinctive that every time somebody comes to one of your books, they have an expectation of what they're going to hear from you as they're reading, and the tone. And in all of my fiction, I incorporate humor and animals, because I love animals, and family. Family is very important to me. Those elements are in all of my books, whether they're romances or family saga or suspense. It doesn't matter. All of those things are there, and that's all a part of my voice as a writer. For Aaron, it's very definitely the humor and the spiritual depth. So mm-hmm. I think you need to get out there and you need to read everything you can get your hands on so that you can learn about yourself and what you like.
I like too, not just reading, like, you know, fiction or nonfiction for basic learning or fun or growth, but I also think there's a lot of great books out there on how to write. And mm-hmm. even if you don't write something today, just starting to read about the process can be a lot of fun. There's a lot of great podcasts out there. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of blogs. So there's so much information out there about how to start writing. And I think something that you're doing, Mackenzie, just savoring life and savoring the stories, even if you take, you know, 5 minutes to jot down something that was really funny or something that was really touching that you want to remember, you'll be amazed at how helpful it is to go back later and go, oh, I didn't remember that. And you mm-hmm. read a little bit about it that you wrote, and it brings it back in a fresher way and with more detail than you would have remembered otherwise. So even if you don't know what you're doing, just jotting down a few notes about something is great.
I think that is great advice to just be, because like I said, I feel like I'm in those research years. And so taking down those little things that I can use later. But I love what you said, Karen, because that was one of the questions I was going to ask. Like, how important to being a writer is it to be a reader? Because with the Cultivating the Lovely community this year, we've been talking a lot about reading and really making that a big part of our lives, even just being more interesting people to our kids because we know more than, you know, the words to the wheels on the bus. And it's nice to feel like your brain is alive when you're reading things. And I have found, I didn't expect this to be the case, but I've read a lot this year. Like, I set really big reading goals for myself. And a lot of times I think, well, if I'm reading somebody else's work, it would be harder for me to sound like me if I was writing. But I found because I've read so many different kinds of things and I've listened to so many different audiobooks this year, there have been certain ones that definitely resonated with me where I've thought that's either the tone I would want to write in or the style or like it did come through more clearly. Like, that's the pocket I would want to sit in if I were to become a writer someday. And so I totally agree with what you said there.
Not only that, but I love when you're reading yourself. I mean, what kind of example are you setting for your kids? I once read a book, I think it was called How to Grow a Young Reader or something like that. And they said, well, the number one way is to have parents who read, you know, have grandparents who read. And when you set this culture of reading up from day one, it makes a big difference. I have kids who read because we read to them, not just our own things, you know, or not just things that were interesting to them, but things that, you know, a book I might have picked out, you know, we read and read, and now they love to read too.
Yeah.
Here's what I love about that too. Aaron's kids are both boys.
Yes.
And they love to read. So that's huge. Getting boys to read, getting them engaged in story.
Yeah.
Something else as a reader that you can do that will benefit you on every front, on the personal front, and if you want to be a writer someday, is highlight phrases and words that delight you. Mm. Highlight words that are fascinating to you. Okay, this tells you just how geeky we are. Friends we meet every week, okay? And we all love to write. We all love to read. Lori Benton, who's a published novelist, is in this group. And so we get together and we play word games. We play Boggle. We play a game called Take Two. But our problem is we go to look up words because we're always like, that's not a real word.
Yeah.
So we open up the dictionary, and I have an unabridged dictionary. This thing weighs about 25 pounds. I have an unabridged dictionary. We open it up, and our problem is in the midst of trying to find the word that we're trying to look up, we find so many other fascinating words. Listen to this. This is so cool. And so we read
it. That's so funny.
Just finding the beauty, the joy of the sense of a word and words that sound like what they are. There are certain words that sound lovely and that are about lovely things. There are words that sound like, okay, vomit. Vomit sounds like disgusting stuff. And just being able to embrace that about the images and the ideas and the sense that words can evoke.
I love that. And that's something you can do even when you're not writing. It can be something you would journal or put in your planner, right? Oh, this is a beautiful word I heard today. You know, those things that we don't necessarily think to keep track of, but could really help if we decide to become writers later on. I love that. That is really good. So you guys both decided to go into writing as a career, but does it have that personal aspect for you of being cathartic? And do you journal? Do you do those kinds of things also, or are you just professionally writing?
Well, I do not journal. I should, I guess. People tell me I should. It's not a thing for me. For some reason, that doesn't work for me, but writing for me is a task that I love. It's the hardest work I've ever loved. But God gives us work. We're supposed to enjoy work. And that's somewhere in Ecclesiastes it says that.
Yeah.
I think maybe even like Ecclesiastes 2:24, it talks about liking work and enjoying what God has given us. So for me, it's a labor of love. And writing is not something I do for God. It's something I do with God. I consider that we are together. It's like, you know, playing Legos with your dad, you know, only we're playing words.
Yeah.
And it gives me life. It gives me passion. I love it because it's something deep in my soul that I know he has told me to do and to do with him and to enjoy with him. The fact that there's a side to it that is a professional side that earns money, that's a thing. That's true. That happens. But it's not the purpose for me. It's helpful for my family right now. It's kind of a necessity right now. Mm-hmm. But the real point is, this is what God has told me to do. So I'm doing it. I'm being obedient to that. And I think when you're talking about a career at all, that's the best way to look at it, because we have no control over how many books we're going to sell. We mm-hmm. can never control that. All we can control is our obedience. And so for me, it's a joyful and loving act of obedience that draws me closer to God every day. Because if I'm not wrestling with him, I have nothing to say.
Mm-hmm. I think that's so true.
For me, it's an immersion in delight. It's taking the images in my mind and putting them on the page and doing it in such a way that it will create emotion in those who read it. There have been times, and I know a lot of writers feel this way, I know that Aaron has felt this way, where I go back and I read something that I wrote and I think, wow, I can't believe that came out of me. it's not that I'm saying I'm so terrific. It's that God uses words so beautifully and so purposefully. And if I'm open to him and what he's calling me to put on the page, whether it's for a blog post, whether it's for a letter to somebody, whether it's just a journal entry just for myself. I write. Yes, I am one of those terrible people who writes in the margins of her Bible.
That's all the rage these days.
Oh my gosh, the journaling with the pictures and all that kind of stuff. Robin Lee Hatcher is so into that. And it's amazing to me. I don't do the art, but some of my most treasured gifts are my grandfather's Bible, mm-hmm. my mom's Bible. My mom passed in 2001. It's this whole thing of seeing their thoughts about Scripture and seeing what they were going through. You know, moms, we talk about writing as a career, but there's no better gift that you can give your children mm-hmm. than to jot down your thoughts, to write them letters, to do things where you share your words with them to encourage them and uplift them and draw them into the delight of writing. So I do it as a profession, and there are days when it's tedious and days when I have to try to cultivate the lovely in order to keep moving forward.
That's right.
In what I'm doing, because it's just work. And there are other days where there's no place I'd rather be than immersed in the words.
That's awesome. That's very cool. Okay, so Aaron, did you do any special kinds of writing things with your kids when they were younger?
You know, we have a cool tradition, and we stumbled into this accidentally, so I'm not going to take any credit for it. But we wanted to cultivate readers, you know, so we decided that every year on their birthday, we would buy our boys a birthday book, and it would be a classic that they could keep with them and have this for all of their life, you know. So we always gave them another present too. So yeah. It wasn't like, hey, you're five, you get a book.
You know, here's Tom Sawyer.
Yeah, one of them has that. So anyway, we did that. But what we did was that we inscribed every book and we said, you know, dear, you know, Jacob, today is your first birthday and we're giving you the Swiss Family Robinson because you love adventure. And we hope that you're going to enjoy this story and you're going to take lots of adventures in your life, both in books and in just real life. And you love to run around the house and make forts and jump off and you scare your mom to death, you know. And so we write this little bit about why we chose the book and what they're doing in their life. And we did this every year. So now my boys, my oldest is going to be 21, you know, and we started with Swiss Family Robinson, you know, and we've gone through and they have this record of who they were at different ages. Mm-hmm. And it's just something simple that we wrote, you know, and like this year we have to buy like the Feynman lectures. he's a physics major in college.
Wow.
So it's funny how they grow.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Clifford the Big Red Dog, Feynman physics, you know, but it's just one of those cool things. And I am amazed how much they treasure these things. Mm-hmm. Karen was talking about writing stuff for future generations or for your kids. And this is just something for them that they can have. There's something more powerful about a written word. We have videos and we have pictures, but something that's an actual written word is just mm-hmm. somehow so cool for them. And, you know, even if you don't want to do that, but, you know, just writing a note to your kid in their lunchbox, you know, yeah. or whatever, or on the first day of school every year, just something written just makes it more important somehow.
Yeah. I've actually written letters to my future daughter-in-laws from the place that I'm at now with the struggles that I have with young kids and everything, so that when, you know, my house is clean someday and they come over and that's all they know, that they can go back to these letters with pictures and see like, right. okay, she had like a real life and it was hard for her too. Because, and I think it's good for them to have that, but it'll be a good reminder to me someday that, yeah. oh yeah, it was that hard. And I do need to help them, you know, however, because it is such a hard time in your life and there's so many stresses and so many demands on you. And so it's kind of for both me and them to have that record.
Yeah.
I love that. We talk a lot about writing as something that we can offer to other people, but I really want to encourage your listeners that if they like to write, and it doesn't matter what, whether it's a journal, whether it's poetry, gosh, I have books full of angst-ridden poetry from college. And, you know, I don't journal either. It's interesting. I have journaled at certain times of life, but it goes and flows. When I go through really difficult things, I tend to journal. When mm-hmm. I'm in a place where life is just happening so fast, it just takes too much energy to journal. Mm-hmm. But what I can do is I can write little notes to myself and keep, we have a prayer box that we write down prayers and hopes and fears, and we put them in those prayer boxes. And then we'll go back to it later. We'll open it up and we'll start looking and saying, okay, God answered this one. That still needs to be prayed about. And so they're reminders to us and ways for us to get it down on the page, what we're afraid of, or down on the page, what mm-hmm. delighted us today, to get it so that it can be kept and held on to and passed on, so that you can get those things kind of cleared out of your mind and your heart, get it there, give it to God, and let go of it.
Yeah, I think that's really good advice. And sometimes, like you said, sometimes life is so fast that there's not right. time to really do that journaling that you would want to do. And I found I was started to use a different planner this last year than I had used before. And the first one that I started with had like these really big spaces to fill in every day. I was like, I can't, even though with planning out my day, I can't even fill that in. Like, because I was trying to go back and write things, oh, that my kids said or whatever, but it just felt overwhelming. But then mm-hmm. I switched to a planner that had smaller boxes. And each day was divided into three boxes. And it was like somehow that felt more manageable, that I could write a little blurb about, you know, my daughter said this word this way, or, you know, something. Even I could fill in one whole box with just two words that I wrote really big, like right. just something to be making those notes every day. And I got to say, looking back over the months that I've done it, and I can see just page after page filled with words, it's been so gratifying to me and so filling to have this record.
Your family history.
Yes.
You're being a historian for the family that comes after you, and they're able to see those things. I mean, we have so many family. My mom was the family, the keeper of family stories. And she died unexpectedly when she was 70.
Wow.
She had heart surgery. There were things going on behind the scenes. And within 3 months, she was gone. And,
wow.
and we hadn't gotten things down. We hadn't. So things like every year she made this amazing cake for me. I haven't been able. I've been looking since she died in 2001.
Oh.
I've been looking for this, no, 2002. I've been looking for this recipe. I can't find it anywhere. I think she just had it in her head. Mm-hmm. And so writing your family history and the delights and the obstacles and all of that is such a gift for the future generations.
Yeah. And I think, like you just said, writing both the high points and the low points. I mean, you don't have to expose like your deepest, darkest, you know, I hate my kids today, or, you know, like you don't have to put that
but
down.
But if you wanted to, yeah, you could. Because that paper is not, yes, going to judge you.
And not just that, but and then burn it. Someday your kids will feel like they hate their kids.
Yes, so, yes. But you know, having the, I mean, at least some sort of realness to it. I mean, a lot of times when I've been on Periscope, people are always like, we love your show because your kids come and thwart the whole thing.
That's exactly
like,
right.
It's real, and giving that legacy to our kids too, that it's not all perfect. Right. It wasn't all glamorous, because sometimes even I think that my husband has a skewed perspective of what his childhood was. And so to have that reality check of, no, your mother, you know, wasn't perfect all the time, you know, those are some really helpful tools to offer the future generations.
None of us likes to seem weak. None of us, yeah, likes to seem flawed, especially as Christians, as believers. We want to be these paragons of virtue so that we reflect Christ well. Well, I'll tell you what, he was a loving Christ, but he was a Christ who faced temptation. He was, mm-hmm, a Christ who suffered. He wept when his friends were killed. He sweat blood because he was not looking forward to what he knew God was calling him to. This was not some paper cutout of a Savior, a paper cutout of somebody that God sent to us to lead us and to show us how to live. This was a real person, a real man who faced everything that we faced. And we need to be that real with the people around us. One of the soapboxes that I get on, but I won't do that here. I get really tired of the masks that we as believers wear at church. Mm-hmm. You know, where you're trying to get your family ready to go to church in the morning and the kids are being impossible and you and your husband are having a huge fight. And then you walk into the sanctuary and like, oh, praise God. Mm-hmm. Let us all join together and sing how great thou art. You know, just let's be real with, yeah, each other as believers, and let's be real in what we share with our families.
You know, when you're talking about jotting down those things that are real and those things where, you know, I'm not perfect, the best writing is authentic. If you're, mm-hmm, doing nothing else, but you're allowing those few sentences that you jot down to be totally authentic, you are doing such a favor for your future readers. And, mm-hmm, and the best books, the most powerful books, are authentic, yes, books. I know Karen, as an editor, has worked with a lot of people, and she'll be like, why isn't this manuscript really doing what it needs to do? It's because the author is pulling back. The author, right, is not going into those places of authenticity, mm-hmm, that is so powerful.
Yeah, I think you really can tell that in a book if they're trying, well, in any kind of writing or presentation at all, even in podcasts or Periscope or whatever, you can tell when somebody's trying to be someone else or be something they've seen. And I think that can be taken into real life too. Like, we're so in this Pinterest perfect culture.
Oh, right.
And,
right,
we have to remember that even with books we're reading the final draft. Like,
right,
it took a while, right, to get that way.
It took editors to get,
yes, it. And it's so much better, like you said, when it's your real voice. I think that's been interesting. I've heard this comment to me a few times now when people have met me in person after seeing me on Periscope or hearing the podcast, and they're like, oh, you're you. Like, we thought you'd be somebody else. Or, like, you'd sound different or you'd act different. Like, thank you.
Here's what I love. You want to see the most authentic writing? Listen to this. Desperados have ganged up on me. They're hiding in ambush for me. I did nothing to deserve this, God. Crossed no one, wronged no one. All the same, they're after me, determined to get me. Wake up and see for yourself. You're God. Do something about this. That's the message version, mm-hmm, of Psalms. David. I mean,
yeah,
you don't find anybody who's,
yeah,
as authentic as David. He's, how long, O Lord, will the evil prosper? He wasn't afraid to be who he was mm-hmm. in whatever moment it was, whether it was dancing in the street with abandon to rejoice in God, or whether it was crying out and saying, this just isn't fair. God's a big boy. He can take it.
Exactly. I think a lot of times in whatever we're dealing with in life, we talked about this a little bit on your guys' podcast. You guys can all listen to. But I think that we sometimes get afraid to, like, we can't tell God, I'm frustrated. My life is hard right now. Like, we think he just expects us to be holy and you're wonderful. Yes, we are supposed to revere him, but he is big enough for us to come to him and be like, I don't understand this. He doesn't promise to give us the answers, but he is that best friend, that father. He wants us to pour out our hearts to him. We can't always solve our kids' problems, but we want to know what they're struggling with. And I think that's really important to remember in motherhood, in life in general.
I love the scripture where I think it's Paul who says, I know nothing but Christ and him crucified. Is that Paul?
Yeah.
So he says, I know nothing but Christ and him crucified. And people read that and they're like, oh, that's just so cool. But here's how I read that. If you start looking at everything that came before that, it's like everything has been stripped away from him. Mm-hmm. And all of his certitude is gone. And what he has, the only anchor that he has to hold on to, is Christ and him crucified. When we are on our faces before God, when life has been so difficult and stripped away the things that we thought were foundational, when we find ourselves on our face before God, we know nothing but Christ and him crucified. And the cool thing is, that's sufficient. That's mm-hmm. all we need. Yeah. Is Christ and him crucified. He was a giant. Paul was a giant of faith because that's what he held on to.
Yeah.
That one small anchor in the midst of all the turmoil. And so, you know, if we can come in and we can be authentic in our writing and the things that we're sharing in our journals or in our notes or in our letters to our kids, if we can say, if you know nothing else, know this.
Mm-hmm.
Know Christ and him crucified, because that's what will hold you. That's what will uplift you. And that's the only.
Yeah, I think that if that's all we can offer our kids, I have a friend who said, you know, she was just completely emptied. She saw herself as a barrel that everything had been poured out of. And she said, I had no other choice but to just let God do the work, because there was nothing left of me. And that's all I want my kids to have, or anyone that I'm ministering to anyway, like the less of me and more of him.
That's really how writing is in general. When you go into, you know, trying to establish a writing career, it's like, You have to have that attitude, knowing nothing but Christ and Christ crucified, and having nothing but that, because writing is a hard place. It's a hard place with criticism and setbacks and you name it. People are not going to like you, you know, and it's a hard place to be. So when you have that foundation, you can't succeed in a writing career without it at all.
I think that is really wise and probably a really good note to end on. Just be more full of him.
Yes,
let that pour out. Okay, so as we are wrapping up here, I want to ask you ladies some questions that I typically ask to all of my new guests. So here we go. Candles or essential oil diffusers?
I don't even get it.
Essential oil diffusers, because I have asthma. And
there
I
you go.
Smoke.
Candles, because I like the way they look.
Okay. cloth napkins or paper napkins?
Oh, paper. Who wants to do laundry?
Okay. Paper towels, man.
Yeah. Okay. City or country?
Ooh, country.
Both? Can we have both? Can we have country near the city?
No. Yes.
One or the other. Pick one or the other.
I want both.
Some of these answers, you just have to be hybrid. Like, my husband wants to move, like, way country, and I'm like, settle down there. Let's stay within distance of a mall.
That's right. I'm country 10 miles from the city.
There you go.
Okay.
Paper or digital?
Paper.
Okay.
Yeah, paper.
Give me a paper book any day.
Okay. Shopping, would you rather do it online or in the store?
I'm definitely online, unless somebody goes with me and helps me pick up stuff. I'm very fashion challenged, and we're just going to admit that right now.
I'd like to be in the store.
Okay. It's 4 o'clock, you're making dinner, and you need a mental break. Do you listen to a podcast or to music?
Podcast, definitely. But first, am I ever going to be making dinner at 4 o'clock?
I had somebody else say the exact same thing the other day. That's so funny.
It ain't going to happen. We eat around 7:30.
So. Okay. Well, whenever you take the break to make dinner, podcast or music.
I don't do any of it. I like silence.
Okay. You know, okay.
For all that I'm an off-the-scale extrovert, I have so much coming at me all day long. I like just the sound of the spoons in the pans and the sounds of cooking.
I think if there wasn't other screaming going on in my house at that time, that's probably what I would do. But instead,
yeah, my corgi's real good about it. He just sits
there.
My
you go.
Train your kids better.
Yes, sit at my feet and adore me, would you?
And that's why Karen has dogs.
Yeah,
I have no children. That's right.
Oh, okay. Chocolate. Do you prefer milk or dark?
Ooh, dark,
dark, dark, dark.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Sports or no sports?
Oh, sports.
Sports, yeah.
Football. Okay. Football.
Okay.
St. Louis, but now back to LA Rams. Woohoo!
You lost me. Okay.
No, okay.
Okay, Periscope. Are you guys involved with Periscope? And if you are, would you rather broadcast or watch?
Well, I would rather...
Minimally involved, and I'd rather broadcast.
Yeah, that's the same for me.
Okay, me too. Favorite movie?
Pride and Prejudice from the BBC version.
Yes, that's a good one.
This is an impossible question. I love movies. If you could see how many movies I have, they cover my walls, so... Anything with Doris Day, Independence Day, The Rock. I mean, you name it. I love movies.
Doris Day, the Independence Day.
Like, and The Rock. If you could get Doris Day in Independence Day, we have a winner.
Yes.
Doris Day with aliens on Alcatraz.
Yes.
With terrorists. That
perfect.
Will do it for me.
And singing.
All right.
Yeah, yes. Singing.
A musical. Okay. So do you guys know what it is to be crunchy?
Oh, well, depends
like
on what you mean.
Naturally minded.
No.
Confused, yeah.
Okay.
My husband and I use that to mean that we're grouchy.
Oh!
I use it to mean writing that's just, you just want
to
love it. It has texture and you just want to enjoy it.
Oh, that is so funny. Okay, so where I live, crunchy means like natural, like granola, hippie, that kind of thing. So if you were to put yourself on the crunchiness spectrum, where 0 is not crunchy at all and 10 is like singing Kumbaya by the fire with dreadlocks and your legs unshaven, where would you be on that spectrum?
Okay. Well, I don't have enough hair to have dreadlocks. So I think I'd be just at a 6, maybe.
Okay.
Says the woman with a fire pit in her backyard. Yeah. Okay, definitely. I would be at the same 6, 7. I don't have dreadlocks either, but
okay.
I like the fire. I like nature. Get me outside.
I like Kumbaya.
There you go.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for coming on. Do you want to tell everyone again really quickly where you can both be found?
You can find us at www.writefromthedeep.com. You can find our podcast there. You can find resource pages and encouragement if you want to be a writer. You can also find information about each of us in the services that we offer.
And you can find my humor writing at erintaylorjung.com. I have a semi-regular humor blog that's full of fun stuff that happens, lots of dog stories. And you can find links to my books there as well.
We're both on Facebook, too.
Perfect. Well, we will have all of those links in the show notes if you guys didn't get them written down. So you can be going to cultivatingthelovely.com to be finding all of those. But thank you so much for meeting with me, and I hope to be able to talk again with both of you very soon.
It's been fun.
Thanks. Bye. So that's it for episode 20 of Cultivating the Lovely, the podcast. As always, you can find all of our show notes at boldturquoise.com/20. 20, and you can get all the details on the giveaway and all of that good stuff, plus find the Right from the Deep podcast. Also, if you just want to head straight to the giveaway, you can find me at Bold Turquoise on Instagram, where you can find all the details as well. As always, we so appreciate it when you leave ratings and reviews on iTunes for the podcast. It helps just get the word out and share the podcast with other people. So if you're a big fan of the show, I would love to hear from you, and I would love for you to help spread the word. That's how this thing keeps growing and helping to reach other women. Again, thank you so much for listening, and until the next time we get together, go be bold and gracious.